Okay, good morning. It's Sunday, April 24th, 2022. This is the regular monthly business meeting of the KPFK Local Station Board. This is the chair, Michael Novick, and our secretary, Ralph Hawkins, will call the roll.
Calling the roll, Grace Aaron. Christina Avalos.
Here.
Alan Beek.
Alan Beek is here.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Jose Benavides. Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you, Fred. Sandy Childs is absent. Marisol Cruz.
Presente.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto. Not here. Eric Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you, Eric. Aviva,
I told her the apartment's open.
Avelia
Jones here.
Thank you, Avelia.
That was Grace Aaron coming on also. Grace, we're calling the roll. Can you speak up to say you're present?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, got it. Ali Lexa.
Looks like Ali is still connecting to us.
Yeah,
I'll get around to it. Don't be talking when I'm trying to call the roll. I can't understand what anybody's saying when you do that.
Oh, sorry.
Rob Macon? Barbara Marbach is requesting an absence. Oye, Oye Yippo? Myla Reason?
Myla Reason here, and it looks like Ali Alexa is now connected to audio if you need that.
Yeah, I'll come back to him. Myla Reason is here, thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Yuri Rideau.
Ziri, she's on the phone. You're muted, Ziri. Me too.
Ziri Rideau, are you here?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I'm got an emergency call.
Okay,
I'm on second
shift. Yes, thank you, Ziri. Paul Roberson.
Paul requested an excused absence. He's traveling.
He said he might try to connect, but so I called him. Oscar Ulloa. Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Thank you, Polina. Beth von Guten.
Here.
Thank you, Beth. Harvey Wasserman. Carlos Zavala.
Here.
Carlos is here. Michael Novick.
Yes, present.
Okay, circling back. Jose Benavides. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Thank you, Bay. Ali Lexa is
here.
Thank you. Rob Macon. Oye, Oye Yippo. Oscar Ulloa. Secretary counts 16 members present.
Okay, thank you. That is a quorum. Thank everybody who is here, and we'll get to excused absences in a minute. We do want to acknowledge that we're on the unceded land of the Tongva, Chumash, and other indigenous people of this territory. And I want to ask people to keep in mind questions of comportment and treating each other with respect, following the rules on speaking during these meetings so that we have an orderly and productive meeting, and honor the people whose land we're on and the respect for all our relations that they demonstrate. Lawrence Reyes had offered to be a timekeeper for, is that for items, Lawrence, or for speakers?
Speakers.
For speakers, there's someone who can keep track of the item time limits so that we can get all of our business done. any volunteers to keep track of the time limits once we set them with, when we approve the agenda?
I can do that, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. That's John T. Gary. Appreciate that. So the next item on our agenda is to approve the draft agenda that was sent around. We have a couple of action items that we're doing, which are follow-up from the previous meetings, and then other unfinished business, and then new business items.
Chair, my hand is up to...
Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Lawrence. Go ahead.
I move to approve the draft agenda.
Okay, thank you. Is there any discussion about the agenda, or Beth, you have a hand up? Yeah. Okay, hang on. I see you, Bella. Beth had a hand up first.
Yes, go ahead.
That's it. Yeah, Beth?
Yes, I would like to include a housekeeping motion to disable chat while we're using Zoom as the platform for our meeting. Thank you.
Okay, so you want to put that on the agenda within this opening business section?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any objection to that?
Mr. Chair, I object.
This is Bella DeSoto.
Okay. Yes, hang on a second. We're taking one thing at a time. There was a motion to amend the agenda to add a disabling chat during this opening section of opening business. And I heard an objection from Myla, so... Okay.
I accept also, Siri.
Okay, so we'll have to put it to a vote. Do we want to have some discussion back and forth about this briefly?
Yes. I have my hand up before anyone...
All right, thank you. We'll let Beth motivate it, and then we'll hear from opposition. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, my concern is that with chat... functional, much of the dialogue, much of the back and forth within the meeting is deflected into chat to the extent that at points it begins to drive the agenda when, in fact, it's not available to everyone on this call. In order for a teleconference to be legal as an open meeting in California, all participants must be audible to all others at all times. What happens in the chat is not audible, and it's not available to those of us who are on by telephone, which is a legal method to join the call. My concern is that we focus the actual dynamic of the meeting, the ongoing dialogue, the discussion, in the actual agenda of the meeting that is audible to all. Thank you. To keep it legal.
Okay, thanks. Bella, you wanted to speak in opposition?
Yes, very much so. I feel that Ms. Van Gutten, not only she is trying to become...
Please don't characterize individuals. Just talk about the motion.
It is undemocratic for any board member to restrict other board members from any platform of communication offered through the system, the platform that we are utilizing currently. To disable the chat is actually removing a limb of this platform. It is unconstitutional, I feel, for anybody, and oh, it is her decision, that particular member's decision,
not to
sign up through Zoom with video. It is her option, not mine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I call for orders of the day. This is my.
Thank you, Myla. We're just going to vote on whether to add this to the agenda. We've heard pro and con. So we had some opposition. It seems significant, so we're going to have to call the roll on adding this item to the agenda, and then we can debate the item itself.
Mr. Chair, did you ask to approve of the excused absences?
We actually haven't gotten to that yet because it's not on the draft agenda for some reason, but we usually do it after we approve the agenda. So we'll get to that in a minute. And I assume without
Beak, request for information.
Okay, hang on a second, Alan. I assume we will add excused absence request to the agenda. I'm sorry it was not on there in oversight when we prepared it. Alan, what's your question?
My question is, if we're going to turn off the chat, doesn't that take a vote?
Yes, that's what we're about to do. The secretary is going to call the roll on a vote to add a discussion to the agenda about whether to close the chat. This is not the vote on closing the chat. There was a motion to add an item to the opening business of the agenda to discuss whether or not to close the chat. So we're voting on adding that item because there was opposition to even adding it. So, Ralph, can you call the roll?
Mr. Chair, before you call the roll, this is Ballot DeSoto. May I have the floor? May I be recognized?
There was a call for the orders of the day, and we're moving on to that. Please let the business proceed. We have a lot of work on this agenda. I don't want to spend any more time than we have to on the agenda itself. Ralph, please call the roll on whether to add to the agenda under opening business a discussion about closing the chat.
Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Alan Beak?
Are we voting on closing the chat?
No, we're voting on adding a discussion of closing the chat to the opening business on the agenda before we approve the agenda.
I vote no. I don't think the chat should even be considered.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Marisol Cruz? Marisol?
You muted, Marisol. Come back to her, please.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
Thank you, Bella. Eric Jacobson?
You muted, Eric.
I vote yes.
Thank you, Eric. Avelia Jones?
I pass.
Alexa?
No.
Thank you. Myla Reason?
No.
Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Siri Rideau?
No.
Thank you, Siri. Polina Vasiliev?
No.
Polina votes no. Beth von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Carlos Zavala?
No.
I didn't get that. What was that?
No.
Carlos votes no. Thank you. Michael Novick?
Not voting.
Okay. Avelia Jones?
No.
I'm sorry, did you get Ali?
Yes. Hold on.
Did you get Marisol Cruz?
No, she was muted. Marisol, are you present? Can you unmute?
Marisol, what is your vote?
No.
Marisol votes no.
Kim, having issues with my Wi-Fi for me.
Secretary records 5 yes votes, 10 no votes, 1 abstention.
Okay, so that is not added to the agenda. Is there any problem with adding the approval of excuse absence request to the agenda? It was inadvertently left off. Hearing none, we'll add that. And any objections to approve the agenda as amended?
Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto.
Chat is automatically left out.
We're not discussing the chat at all. Bella, you have your hand up regarding the agenda?
Yes, well, it's confusing because you first have to approve the agenda, then you amend it.
Bella, I'm sorry. You do not approve the agenda. You move to approve the agenda. Then you discuss the agenda. There are amendments offered, and then you approve the agenda as amended. We've been over this multiple times.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, the item right now is a little confusing. We just voted to leave it off on the agenda. Is that correct, the item regarding the chat?
Yes, there was an amendment to add a discussion of the chat. We did not put it on the agenda. It's not on the agenda. The only amendment we made to the agenda was to add the approving the excused absence request, which has been inadvertently left off. Mr. Reyes, you have your hand up.
Point of information.
Hang on a second, Alan. Lawrence, you had a hand up.
Yes, I think you need to move to approve or disapprove the excuse absences, Chair.
Yes, as soon as we agree that we've approved the agenda. Alan, you had a question?
Yes. Since we have not put a motion to consider taking out the chat, I presume that means there is automatically no chat to be used. Is that correct?
No.
That's not the case. The chat is there. People should avoid using it. It's often a distraction. It's not on the agenda. We're moving on. I hear no objection to approving the agenda as amended, so the next item on the agenda is approval of the excused absence request. Is there a motion to that effect? There were requests from Sandy Childs, Barbara Marbach, and Paul Roberson for excused absences.
So moved.
Okay. Seconds.
All right. Thank you. Any objection to approving all three? Hearing none, they're excused. Next item is a time certain for adjournment. Is there a motion on that?
Mr. Chair?
Myla?
This is Myla. Thank you for recognizing me. I would like to move that we adjourn by 12:30 Pacific time.
Okay, I believe the agenda we just adopted is 171 minutes, which is almost 3 hours. That would be 1 o'clock, roughly, I think.
Geez.
So,
Chair, I have my hand up.
Yes, Mr. Reyes.
I'd like to move that we, I guess I got to amend Myla's proposal to 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Hard German time.
Thank you. Is there any objection to a 1 o'clock time certain?
I object. Point of order. Okay.
Yes, what's your point of order?
This should have been taken up during the approval of the agenda, not afterwards. So, people shouldn't be making motions except on an agenda item. So what agenda item are we on?
It's 1D, setting a time certain for adjournment. It's on the agenda. And so there's a proposal to adjourn at 1 o'clock.
Pardon me.
Thank you.
I apologize.
Bill, you have your hand up?
And I objected. I hope that you know.
Yes. Okay. Bella, you had a hand raised?
No, I'm lowering it. It was something else.
Okay, thank you.
No.
All right, so there's a
It's okay. Chair, if I could just inform everybody. You do not need to lower your hand. I will do that as I'm the timekeeper. And you will hear a bell ring when your time is up. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we need to vote then on 1 o'clock? I heard an objection.
I object as well.
Okay. So let's, Ralph, can you call the roll on a time certain of 1 p.m.?
Okay, Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Thank you. Alan Beek?
Alan Beek votes yes.
Thank you, Alan. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Marisol Cruz?
Abstain.
Marisol abstains. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Bella votes yes. Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you, Eric. LB Jones?
Davilia?
Yes.
Davilia votes yes. Ali Lexa?
No.
Ali votes no. Myla Reason?
No.
Myla votes no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Thank you, Lawrence. Ziri Rideau?
Yes.
Thank you, Ziri. Paulina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Paulina votes yes. Beth von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Carlos Zavala?
I'd like to vote yes, but I'd actually like to amend it to 12:30.
No, you can't. This is the substitute.
I take that as a yes?
Correct.
Okay. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Okay.
Rob Macon abstain.
Okay. Secretary records 13 yes votes, 2 no votes, and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So we have set a time certain for 1 p.m. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes that were submitted by the secretary.
The chair requests for information, Lawrence. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes, sure.
John P. Gabby, who's keeping time on the items, is requesting that the agenda be put in the chat.
Okay. Ralph, can you do that?
I don't know how. I could send it to him.
I volunteer to do that.
Okay, thank you, Ziri.
Thank you, Ziri.
Mr. Chair, Bella, may I be recognized?
Yes, this is on the question of approval of the minutes.
This is on the issue of chat, of the chat.
We're not discussing the chat. We did not put that on the agenda. There was a request to put the draft on the agenda in the chat, and somebody is doing it. What's on the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I appreciate if you do not interrupt me. I have the floor, and it is valuable to have the chat as it is being requested at this moment as well.
I'm sorry, Bella, you're out of order. The agenda item is the approval of the minutes. I ask if there are any objections to the approval of the minutes. Hearing none, the minutes are approved. So having approved our agenda, we have 2 action items at the top of the agenda. The first one is completing the election process for the GM search committee. So we'll have a presentation of the tally from the tellers who are present with us. That's Terry Goodman and John P. Gary. And then we have to resolve the ties and ratify the results. Everybody did receive those the ballot results previously, but go ahead, Terry.
Okay, I don't know if it's necessary for me to go through the part of the narrative, I'll just say that we've had several tallies. The rules have changed a bit. While we've gone through all this, I've discovered 2 incompatibilities in the software that we have to work around. One in the setting of the quota for election, in which the software automatically imposes a fractional quota in certain circumstances, and our bylaws only allow integer thresholds. And then there was another issue in which, in the event of a tie, the software looks at the previous round and can eliminate someone in a tie based on their status in a previous round, but that's not in our bylaws either. So I'm having to do a hand tally to get around those incompatibilities. And I've reported through email up to the 6th round, in which we have our first tie for last place that needs to be resolved. And if I can get screen share to work, I need the host to enable that. There we go. Let's see. That's here. Okay, so in the sixth round, we stand with, this is on the initial distribution of ballots. On the first, in the first round, Grace Aaron reached the threshold of four. We have multiple candidates tied at three votes each. That's Polina, Christina, Avilia, and Oscar. We have three candidates tied at two votes each. That's Myla, Marisol, and Mike. And in this round, we are resolving the tie between Alan Beek and Beth Von Gunten. We can see that candidates Bella De Soto, Lawrence Reyes, Yuri Rideau, and a write-in for Mansoor Sabah, none received votes in the first round. And looking at the ballots as they exist, it's mathematically certain that none will be elected because others have, even below threshold, have more votes. So Bella De Soto, Lawrence Reyes, Viri Rideau, and Mansoor Sabah were, well, all but Mansoor were defeated in an earlier round. Mansoor is excluded because he's not a current board member, and the original resolution for this election was reconsidered, and the only LSB members, by a vote of the LSB, only LSB members are eligible to serve on this search committee. So to resolve this tie in the sixth round, I found a website that does the drawing of straws. It's been in existence for close to 10 years, judging by archive.org, and it is a non-commercial site. Let me share a screen on that. If I can, yeah, new share. Looks like I've got to change my browser here. Okay, here we go. So on this site, which at the bottom we can see that it's open source, written by David Goodrich. And so for those who are suspicious, you can actually, in Firefox, you can view the code for this page, make sure that it's fair. It's written in Java and PHP, to common languages. And the location is at www.dsrw.org, /DLG. And I pre-entered the names Beth Von Gunten and Alan Beek, who are the people tied. And if there's no objection, I would like to click on the button Draw Straws to see who gets the short straw.
Is that acceptable to everyone? I hear no objection.
This is Alan Beek. I would like to interrupt.
Okay, go ahead, Alan.
If I withdraw, then that automatically resolves that tie in favor of Beth Von Gunten. I would do that if it would expedite the process.
Well, yes. I can draw straws, and if you win, I can draw straws again. Yeah. So
I'd rather withdraw voluntarily than draw straws.
Let's see.
Then Mr. I would... Chair, may I be recognized? This is Myla.
Okay.
I'd like to move that the board accepts Alan Beek's decision to withdraw in this instance.
I'll second that. This is Harvey.
I'll point out that it will take longer this way.
I
I would like to object to this. I feel time pressure is not a good way to get a real decision. And Ellen has been running for this thing, and we should not make this pressure to because of 5 minutes to not have it.
I will point out this is taking longer than just letting the straws be drawn.
Yeah, I would have to edit the input file and rerun the election. And actually, it could affect other scenarios, but not much. So it would be easier for me to just draw straws once or twice as required so that Alan loses.
I see a hand up from Beth.
Yes. To me, it makes no more sense to decide on the basis of what takes longer than it does to decide on what is easier. I think it should be decided on the merits. I thank Alan for his consideration and would like to suggest that the decision should be solely his.
Mr. Chair, if I
okay, hang on a second, please. I'm sorry, Bella. Please try to use the hand raise function. I don't understand why you can't. You're on a computer. Paul Robeson has, I'm sorry, everybody, please stop calling out. Paul Robeson has a hand up. He wants to indicate that he's present. And please go ahead, Paul.
I'll just say that I'm present, but I will be leaving early. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Harvey Wasserman is present too, Chair.
Can you speak up, Harvey? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just acknowledging, and I want to thank Alan for his graciousness. It's much appreciated.
All right, thank you. I see a hand up from Bella.
Yes, I ask that the teller continues the process that we have been so patient waiting for so that we can get done with this procedure.
Okay, there's someone on the phone, 614. Who is that?
That's me. That's Harvey.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Ali Lex has a hand up.
Yeah, I agree with what Bella just said. I think we should let Terry Goodman run it the way he suggested, which would be the fastest way to do it. Do the draw with the straws, and if Alan wins, he can do the draw again, and then we can move forward.
Okay, that was the decision when we did the authorizing motion. It was to resolve the ties. So based on two methods that were made, which is drawing straws or flipping coins, I would like to just proceed. Beth?
This is Beth with my hand up again. Yes, I would point out that to push ahead with a procedure, ignoring a change in the actual content of the procedure would be out of order. It was at this point that Alan introduced his offer to withdraw, and it should be considered at this point before confounding the count any further. If it doesn't make sense to count him knowing that he's willing to withdraw and then redo that count, redo a flip for a tie later, because we didn't take into account his withdrawal at this point. So again, I think that it falls.
Okay, sorry, we have 5 minutes. There's only 5 minutes remaining in the agenda for this entire process. I have two more hands up. Please be brief and let's try to resolve this. Marisol and then Ziri.
Yes, I agree with Beth. If Alan wants to withdraw, he should be able to withdraw. I would like to concede my
part. One thing at a time.
Yes, I would like to concede my vote to you, Michael.
I'm sorry, that's not in order at this moment, please. Ziri?
Okay, just briefly, I voted for Alan. I wanted him to be part of this. He clearly is only motivated in his withdrawal by time problems, by a flawed election process. I don't think this is correct. Thank you.
Well, that's
okay, here's my... This is the ruling of the chair. I'm sorry.
I think Beth is a very good person for the position.
We're not disputing any of that, Alan. The body voted for a mechanism to do this election, and in that authorization vote, we said that we would resolve ties by using one of two methods, drawing straws or coin flips. And so that is what's happening.
Point of order.
Yeah, Paul Robeson had his hand up.
Yeah, I saw it go up briefly. I'm sorry, but there's a point of order. What is it, Beth?
Did I not just hear Alan withdraw? Meaning that this tie, that the breaking of this tie is no longer necessary? Did I not just hear that?
Mr. Chair,
okay. I'm sorry.
We are at time for this item.
All right, so I think we're going to have to vote on whether Alan is allowed to withdraw. I don't know how else to deal with it. So can you call the roll, Ralph, on allowing Alan to withdraw?
Mr. Chair, okay. I had my hand up.
I'm sorry, we're at time for the whole item. We have to resolve all this and move on.
Secretary's calling the vote. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you. A little distortion there. Alan Beek?
Yes.
One votes yes. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Marisol Cruz?
Yes.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
All votes no. Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you, Eric. Alvia Jones?
Yes.
Allie Lexa? Allie Lexa?
Abstain.
Allie abstains. Myla Reason?
I defer to Terry Goodman, and thus I abstain. This is Myla.
Got you, Myla. Lawrence Reyes?
Abstain.
Lawrence abstains. Ziri Rideau?
No.
Three votes no. Alina Vasiliev? Alina, how do you vote? Come back to her. Beth von Guten?
Yes.
Beth votes yes. Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Carlos votes yes. Michael Novick?
Abstain.
Winding back, Kalina Vasiliev.
I think you missed Harvey Wasserman.
Yes, thank you. Harvey Wasserman.
Yes, and thank you, Alan.
Kalina Vasiliev. Grace Aaron. Grace Aaron, how do you vote?
Abstain, I abstain.
Grace abstains. One more time, Kalina Vasiliev.
You missed Paul Robeson. My hand is raised and I abstain.
Okay, Paul abstains.
Rob Macon abstains.
Rob Macon abstains. Alina Vasiliev, last chance. Okay, a moment.
Sorry, do you have a tally?
One moment. I record 9 yes votes, 2 no votes, and 7 abstentions.
Okay, so Alan is being allowed to withdraw. That resolves that tie in favor of Beth. Can you proceed with the rest of the... I believe that puts Beth into a tie. Is that correct?
Let me see. No. Okay, so...
Mr. Chair, I'd like to extend time for this item by 5 minutes.
Okay, is there an objection to an extension of time for 5 minutes? Hearing none.
Okay, so Alan Beek had one ballot from Keith Gatt with Beek as the first choice and Beth Von Gunten as the second choice, so that one ballot goes into the Von Gunten stack. So that she now has two ballots. And
yeah, so that's we now have a four-way tie with two ballots. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that in my thing. So
yes, previously there was, I think.
Yeah.
I think there were three of us with two votes each. So now there are four of us with two votes each. So
right. So we have a full weight. Well, let's see. Yes, we have a four-way tie with Myla Reason. So let's get back to the. So this is going to be four-way.
Yeah, so we have a four-way tie. I think it's Marisol, myself, Myla, and Beth at this point. Is that right?
Michael, is this Paulina?
Yes, Paulina.
Didn't Alan and Beth both get one vote each?
Alan withdrew or declined, and so the second choice on his on the ballot that had Alan first went to Beth. Since that ballot, the first choice is out, the second choice gets the full vote.
Got it. Thank you so much.
I have hands up from Oscar Ulloa. I think, are you acknowledging your presence on the call, Oscar, or did you want to make a comment as well?
Yeah, good morning. Just acknowledging that I used that.
Okay, morning. Thank you. And Miley, you have your hand up?
Sorry, I'll take it down. Sorry.
Thank you.
Kindly tell with lower your hands. You don't have to do it.
Okay, thanks. Okay, just to reiterate for everybody, what's happening is we had the original tally showed a tie for last place of one vote each for Alan and Beth. Alan withdrew. There was one ballot that was marked number one for Alan, and on that ballot, the second choice was Beth. So Alan's withdrawal resulted in that ballot going to Beth. That gave Beth two votes. There were already three other people with two votes each, Myla, Marisol, and myself. So there are now four people tied with two votes each for last place, and several people tied with three votes, and one person elected, which was Grace Aaron. So we're going to try to resolve the tie among the four-way tie with short straws, and Terry Goodman is about to do that.
I'm about to press the button. And I pressed it, and there we go. So Beth Von Gunten got the short straw.
Mr. Okay. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto. May I be recognized?
Yes, what's your question, Bella?
I did not understand what Terry Goodman just said. I could not understand.
Okay, he's using a process called drawing straws, yes. And
no,
every time he clicks it.
I did not understand what he just said.
I'm explaining what he just said. He said that he clicked the button to draw straws, and Beth Van Gunten got the short straw. That means that she's eliminated from the four-way tie. There's now a three-way tie, and he's got to do it again.
I had to understand. Thank you.
So, again, it's because it's a multiple. Chair. I'm sorry. Let me finish explaining. Thank you. Because it's a multiple-place tie, we can't do a coin flip. He's doing short straws. So each time he has to rerun it with after one person gets a short straw and is eliminated, there's still three people with two votes each. What happens when Beth is eliminated, though? Does the vote that was the votes that were for Beth have to get circulated? Is that right, Terry?
Yes. There's two ballots in the Von Gutten stack. That's KGMSC and PFAT. On the KGMSC ballot, after Von Gutten was Aaron, who's already been elected, so she cannot receive a transfer. Next on that ballot is Rideau, who has been eliminated. And then the fourth item on that ballot is Myla Reason. So the GMSC ballot gets transferred to Myla Reason. We now have three ballots. On the PFAT ballot, which had originally gone to Beek, was transferred to Von Gutten, who's now been eliminated. Next person on that ballot is Aaron, who has been elected, so can't receive a transfer. Rideau, who has been eliminated, so can't receive the transfer. Then Vasiliev, who is still a surviving candidate. So Vasiliev gets another vote, which brings her to four votes, so she is elected.
A point of
okay, I have, I'm sorry, Lawrence had a hand up and then Myla.
Yeah, if you don't have a point of information or point of order, please use your reaction feature in the Zoom to raise your hand.
Are you the chair, Lawrence?
No, but he was called upon to speak.
I have the floor, Ms. Reason.
Please don't interrupt Ms. Reason.
So that's what I'm highly recommending. Thank you.
Thank you. Myla, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I believe that I had three number one votes, not two. I'll have to go back and check, but it's my understanding that I had three.
You can, let's see, new share is,
yeah, well, be that as it may, and this will vote for you, moves you out of it.
You had two in the sixth round.
So in any event, the elimination of Beth in this round passed one vote to Myla, which gave her three, and one vote to Paulina, which gave her four. So Paulina's elected at this point. Myla is now in a tie of three votes with Christina Avelli and Oscar. And there are two of us remaining. I see a hand up for Marisol. Go ahead, Marisol.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to withdraw myself for this round. I would like to concede my votes over.
Okay. Is there any objection to, given that we just went through an elaborate voting process and allowed Alan to withdraw, are we okay with allowing Marisol to withdraw?
I can do it simpler.
Okay. I don't hear any objection to Marisol withdrawing, and I think that might resolve the entire thing.
Yeah, since I'm doing this by hand rather than by software, I can just clear my head and do a whole old hand count. So in the two votes for Marisol were ballot P2AP2 and ballot Hope HOPE. That's stuff this year.
Well, I'm saying I think if Marisol withdraws, there are seven candidates remaining for seven seats.
Well, I still have ballots to distribute.
Okay.
So the
go ahead.
The one that only had Cruz gets discarded because there's no person to transfer to. And then the next one goes to Vespulio.
Okay, that gives Vespulio an excess.
Right.
But I would just point out, I think that distribution or not, there are only seven.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so I think that will resolve it. Is that correct?
It will. There'll be details in the teller's report as to where the extra vote from Polina goes. And actually, it gets complicated because each of these ballots is now worth.
Yeah, it's a fractional. Yeah. Okay,
so
but can you read off the list?
Nobody else reaches the threshold.
Can you read off the list of seven at this point?
Yes. In no particular order, I'll say Grace Aaron, Christina Avalos, Michael Novick, Myla Reason, Ovelia Jones, and if I didn't say Polina.
That's you have Oscar there?
Yeah, here he is. Yeah, right next to Polina. And Oscar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes.
Okay, thank you. So we need to ratify that result. Is there a move to do so?
I move to ratify ballot decision.
Thank you. Any objection to that? Thank you, Harvey. Any objection? Okay, hearing none, the results are ratified. Thank you, tellers, for a very time-consuming and difficult job. And, you know, maybe the question should be addressed with the Pacifica National Board as a whole about the conflict between the bylaws and the Choice Pro Plus software, because we're mandated to use that software and it conflicts with the bylaws. That's not a good policy, but I'll leave that to the National Board to deal with. Avili, had your hand up for a minute?
My hand was up, but you clarified what I needed to know.
Okay, thank you. So I just want to point
Grace,
out that in the...
Chair Grace has a hand up.
Okay, I just wanted to point out that in the authorizing motion, Grace, who was the first elected to be in a position to convene a meeting of the General Manager Search Committee. I'm sorry, is it 310 Grace or somebody else?
Yes, that's me.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I just have a point of personal privilege.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was knocked off Zoom and I can't seem to get back on. My computer does have internet access. To report that. Maybe I'm in the waiting room or something. I had a call in with my phone.
I don't see any waiting room. I'm sorry that happened. You could try again or it's fine that you're on by telephone. Anyway, Grace, what I was saying is you were the first elected and under the authorizing motion that we passed, it's your prerogative to try to convene a meeting as soon as possible of the General Manager Search Committee. Harvey has a hand up. Go ahead. No, you muted yourself, Harvey. Okay, I guess
I want to congratulate you all and good luck on this job. It's extremely important, as we all know.
Okay, we're going to move on to the agenda. The next item is the CAB authorizing motion. From the Governor's Committee, move that the Community Advisory Board be reconstituted effective immediately pursuant to PMB policy and CPB guidelines with a projected membership of up to 20 individuals to conduct a community needs assessment and use it to evaluate how well current and proposed programming on KPFK meets those needs of the diverse and extensive geographic and demographic communities in our broadcast area and fulfill the CAB responsibilities from the CPB report. A CAB may establish and follow its own schedule and agenda, the CAB structure and composition, including the number of members, their terms and method of appointment and removal, should be established by the station's governing body. The CAB's responsibility includes the right to review the station's programming goals, the right to review the service provided by the station, the right to review significant policy decisions rendered by the station, and the obligation to advise the station's governing body on whether the station's programming and other significant policies are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the community served by the station, and to make recommendations as the CAB deems appropriate to meet such needs. CAB annual certification. The Act requires stations to certify annually their compliance with the CAB requirements. The certification is a part of the CPB's required community service grant agreement and certification of eligibility. The CAB shall adopt its own bylaws and rules pursuant to the relevant above-named policies and guidelines. Be it further resolved that the local station board approves as the initial members of the CAB the following applicants who have been interviewed and approved, as well as any additional applicants interviewed and approved before the April 24th meeting, up to a total of 20, with the proviso that additional members up to a total of 20 can be recruited and added as they become available. 10 of the initial CAB members, as determined by drawing lots, shall serve four-year terms, with the remaining 10 serving initial two-year terms so that CAB membership turnover can be staggered and continuity preserved. The LSB further urges station management to collaborate with the CAB by providing the required annual programming plan, by noticing the CAB membership and meetings on the station website, and by promoting on-air and by other means the existence, purpose, meetings, and opportunity to participate in the CAB. The list of people that were interviewed and submitted applications and are being referred to the LSB are Chancy Martorell, this is not in any particular order, Ruth Sanchez, Joe Ayala, Wade Alexander, Ajamu Makalani, Renee Grace Rodriguez, Sylvester Rivers, Matt Cedillo, Dr. Ruth Strauss, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, Stefan Klein, Marcus Avila, Kelly Flores, Dan McCrory, and the additional name from the last round of interviews we did is Suguru Fors. This is a motion that came from governance. Is there discussion? I see two hands up, Beth Van Gunten and then Lawrence Reyes. Beth?
Thank you. Yes, I want to thank everyone for the extensive efforts that have gone into this this project for the last year and a half. To get it this far, I think it will position us to make significant progress over the next year and beyond that. And it's really been a labor of love for many of us. And I want to thank people for, I guess, for once moving beyond the factional divides and rallying behind this. We're ever so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. And I'd like to, again, extend my my gratitude and my professional thank you to Grace to strike that, to Bev Van Gunten for shepherding us in this process. And I also like to thank the candidates that stepped up, that some are in the Zoom meeting today, for providing their expertise in the communities. And this is a very diverse group of folk. And I think we stand to have a very excellent functioning community advisory board as long as that resolution is implemented and is carried out. So I urge my colleagues to vote yes in standing up this committee. I'd like to thank Michael, Dan McCrory, Beth, and I guess I could throw myself in the mix for conducting the interviews in an open and transparent process. The interviews times were posted with the Zoom link and everything. So this was a very open process. And I'd just like to thank those community members that stepped up. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Yeah, I do want to especially acknowledge Dan McCrory, who came in during the course of the process and has really helped push it forward. And I want to point out to everybody that did share it earlier that in one of the open Zoom interview calls, we had I believe the chair or executive director, I forget what his exact title is, of the CPB came on the call, observed for a while, and made some comments to us all about the gap that Pacifica has to cover in order to qualify for a community service grant if it wishes to do so in the future. But I think he was impressed with the fact that we were proceeding, diligently on this effort. The other, I think, is advisable to have a CAB and to do the kind of communities assessment and other evaluations that are in the CPB description of a community advisory board. I do want to take a chance here to take a public comment because I want to point out that there are still five vacancies that could be filled on the CAB after this based on the motion if it's adopted. So if there's any comment from the public regarding the community advisory board, I'd be interested in hearing it. I don't see any hands coming up. Are there any objections to the motion? Calling user three, go ahead. Calling someone on the phone raised their hand just now. I assume that's someone from the public. Go ahead. You just muted yourself, calling user three. Person on the phone who wishes to speak.
Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, thanks very much. And thanks for doing such a good job of the CAB, making an open public call for all listeners, which didn't happen at KPFK, didn't happen at WBAI, and for conducting interviews. I wasn't able to sit in on any of them, but I certainly think that is a very good template for the rest of the network to follow, whether they've been having CABs for 10 years, as someone constantly brays about, but ending up with a board that is in no way representative of the region or of the listenership, and I suspect of the membership. So thanks again, and congratulations to all.
Okay, thank you. I will point out that we did this under a PNB motion. I think it goes back to 2010, which I did circulate to the LSB and sent back to the PNB to the other LSB chairs, and I'm hopeful that we can, have enough institutional memory to, carry out this process in a open, democratic way. Thank you. So no other public comments and no objection. I think the motion is carried without objection. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. Moving on to the agenda, we have unfinished business. There's the last item on the agenda of our last meeting when we hit our time certain and voted to adjourn was the motion as amended from the Governance Committee regarding Spanish language programming efforts and fundraising. I'll read that. The motion as it stands at this point, based on the amendment that was adopted at the last meeting, the LSB supports the Spanish language programming efforts to fundraise outside of on-air venues as it has done successfully in the past. The LSB urges the new acting general manager to support this with on-air promotion of such community events to fundraise for the benefit of Pacifica KPFK. Further resolved that the LSB supports the Spanish language programmers' request that no third-party answer calls during their scheduled on-air fund drives. Rather, they would provide Spanish-speaking people to handle the calls and offer thank you premiums as in the past. Exceptions may be allowed to use a third-party call service for overflow calls. So that was where the motion stood at the end of the last meeting. I have a hand up for Myla.
Yeah, may I speak to the motion are we now?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd like to say that I believe that all meetings should be treated equally, not just for Spanish language programming there shouldn't be an exception for a different class of outside fundraising. All fundraising should be approved through the station, and there shouldn't be two classes of fundraising events.
Okay, Bella and Lawrence. Bella's next, I think.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you for recognizing me. This motion was passed, and this does not activate a separate class, although the Spanish language programming in its history at KPFK has been treated as a third class with little to no respect, resources, etc. Given that it's a very different language, it is a it has a considerable population within the signal area of KPFK. It requires attention. It requires dedication during its fundraising efforts on air, so that the collectives can pick up and handle their own calling. It is for that reason, so they can have better control to fundraise for the station, as they are always being criticized. The other part of this motion, of course, deals with outside fundraising, which they have carried out for a number of years very successfully. So I support all and each. Thank you. And I urge my colleagues to vote in the affirmative. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have Lawrence Reyes and then Fred Blair, and I have a member of the public with a hand up, but we'll come back to you in a minute or two, and I'll have additional public comment before the vote on this. Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. Let me be clear here in regards to what you just heard a little while ago. The Spanish language programmers are not looking to become a separate entity. When outside fundraising is raised, is community events. So community events that benefit KPFK as they have historically done before, raise money in the community to bring into KPFK. So this idea that they're looking to separate themselves or secede, as the implication is, that is not what is clearly articulated in the motion. What's clearly articulated in the motion is that they be sponsored by the station which they program on, which is it's a no-brainer in order to do that. I mean, this is an enfranchising motion. It's very difficult for an answering service to provide bilingual speakers. The overflow will go to the answering service. So it's not like they're looking to secede from the station or anything like that. And this gaslighting really needs to stop. It completely needs to stop. And
I really object to be having my comments characterized.
I did not mention your name, Ms. Reason.
Yeah, but it was pretty clear.
All right, thank you. Please restrict yourself to the content of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. So I asked my colleagues to support this motion. It's high time that everybody pitch in their grain of rice into the pot, and that we start cooking on all cylinders. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, this is not seceding, an effort to secede from the station.
All right, thank you. So we have 5 minutes remaining. We have two members up with their hands, Fred Blair and then Beth Van Gunten, and we'll take some public comment. Fred.
Okay. Am I recognized now? Can you hear me?
Fred, go ahead. Yes, go ahead. We hear you.
Thank you. I think it's totally inappropriate for governance to insert itself in between management and personnel at the station. This is the very definition of micromanaging the station. Our job is to evaluate management on their actual performance, not to do management at the station ourselves. Therefore, I am against this motion. Thank you.
Okay, Beth Van Gunten, you're next.
Thank you. Yes, I'm a Spanish language programming listener. So, of course, I support the Spanish language programming in principle, and the fundraising efforts they want to take part in principle. My concern with this motion, a couple of them. One is that as it's worded, it could serve as a blanket endorsement of any and all events, which that I'm uncomfortable with that. I think that they should, endorsement of events should be handled the same way that we endorse any other fundraising efforts, item by item, event by event, without exceptions being made for any given subset of programming. My other concern is with the logistics of the phone answering. Right now, our phone, our telecom system is still seriously disabled by the efforts to improve it starting back in January. And it's not logistically possible to provide what is being requested in this motion. And it raises a further concern that it's not clear to me why anyone engaged in fundraising efforts wouldn't try to work this out with staff rather than have the LSB mandate it. So I think it's just from a logistical.
Okay, sense. I'm sorry, Lawrence. You keeping track of time because I think people are going on long past 90 seconds.
No, Beth had another 15 seconds, Chair.
Really? Okay. All right, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
So that's sufficient. I've enumerated my concerns.
Okay, thank you. I have Ziri, and then we'll take some public comment. Although I think I'm going to call myself as well. Ziri, go ahead.
Has his hand up.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I also want to speak in favor.
Sure, W's next week.
Stuart, can you? Okay, this is Ziri. I also want to support this motion. I do feel this is a very underprivileged segment of our society that is trying to fundraise in the ways they have available. They have very bad equipment at the station, and they need to get basically into the community to get more awareness for this. So this is exactly what we're trying to do to get activism and community going. So I'm totally in favor for this specific underprivileged group to have this extra right. Thank you. So I vote, please vote yes.
Thank you, Oscar. And then we call myself and then we'll take public comment and move to a vote, please. Oscar.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chair. As a Spanish programmer myself, and somebody who has actually seen what is happening with the environment that we are against, I'm willing to try to recognize that there is it has been an institutionalized way of trying to set the Spanish programming to the, on the second plane. Personally, I have directly from management have discussions and ugly discussions because all this way of thinking, it comes from behind, from before. It comes from people who think that the Spanish programming is not good, that the Spanish programming has no place in KPFK, that we are stealing valuable time from the English. In the end, this is a way for us to officially empower, to have a way that we can get behind us something that should be really, really simple. Everybody has a right to work the different under the different circumstances, under different cultures. We are not asking for anything in exclusivity. The same thing it will be if somebody else from a different kind of programming, different kind of shows, we're open to that. What we need to recognize is it has been in the past in an institutionalized way to set the Spanish and mostly minority programming aside. And we all know who those people are. We just fooling ourselves.
Hi, Chair. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I have additional members raise their hand. I did want to speak myself, but I'll wait. Paulina, Myla, and myself, and then we're going to go to public comment. The public comment will come out of public comment time and not the time for the item, and then we'll vote. Paulina?
Yes, I just wanted to point out that if we read the motion carefully, it reads, the LSB urges the new ASCMGM support this with on-air promotion of such community events. such to me reads any community event being proposed for whether it be from Spanish language or English language programming or whatever other programming we might one day have. This is just asking for the for management to work with and to support these efforts. It's not mandating that every single thing that anybody from the street proposes all of a sudden be supported and broadcast, not at all. Neither is it singling out Spanish language programming, rather acknowledging our efforts, the efforts of this community, the people that listen to us who are willing to support us, and that this radio station has not been inclusive with them. Thank you.
Chair, timekeeper. So you have Grace Aaron, who raised her hand, Marley again, and yourself, Chair. Then I got the stack for the public comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If Marley already spoke, I think we'll just go with Grace and myself and then take the public comment. Grace?
Okay, yes. I would like to add two slight amendments to this. It's one amendment, but in two places. I don't have the capability to email you this at the moment, so I'll just state it verbally. After the second sentence, I'd like the period to become a comma. After that, it would say, as long as adequate liability insurance is in place, period. Then after, further resolve that the LSB supports the Spanish language programmer's request that no third party answer calls during their scheduled on-air fund drives, rather that they would provide Spanish-speaking people to calls and offer thank you premiums as in the past, comma, after pass a comma, and then as long as current staff, I'm sorry, a comma, as long as this does not overtax current staff, that's it, comma, as long as this doesn't overtax current staff, period. So it would be comma, after the second sentence it would be comma, as long as adequate liability insurance is in place, and then after the fourth sentence, comma, as long as this does not overtax current staff, period.
Mr. Chair,
okay,
this is
I'm sorry. Hang on a second. Is there a second? Is there a second for Grace's amendments?
I'll second
point
it.
Of information,
okay,
Mr.
thank
Chair.
You. What's your question, Bella?
Mr. Chair, what is...
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
Wasn't this...
Maybe if you cut your video because you don't the bandwidth you have a bandwidth problem.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Wasn't this motion same amendment proposed during governance and it was voted down because it's not germane? Whereas insurance, public insurance, for these events are not necessary.
That's argumentation on the motion. Discussion
And the second part is not germane, as it does not require the staff. They provide their own Spanish language people to answer the phones, as in the past. So neither one of those positions remain. Thank you.
Thank you. So what's on the floor at the moment is this amendment, but we have a lot of hands of public comment, and I guess we ought to take them.
Let me tell you the stack. It's Raymond Goldstone, Kim, Laura, Janine, and
yeah,
Marla
thank
has
you.
Her hand up again.
Point of information.
What's your question, Myla?
I thought that we had separated these two, this motion, and the phone answering was one part, and the events, outside events, was another part.
We did not. That happened in the governance committee. There was an amendment in the body at the last meeting, and the motion is as you see it. So let's go to the public comment, and then we'll come back and try to vote on the amendment.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes, what is it?
This is Grace. May I have a moment to motivate
my amendments?
Okay, yes, go ahead.
Okay. Allowing on-air announcements of events that are assumed to be sponsored by KPFK causes extreme potential liability for KPFK and Pacifica. It is very important that this potential liability is ameliorated with sufficient insurance to cover any potential mishaps. If an outside group chooses to hold a fundraiser for KPFK under another banner, then that's fine. But once it's announced on the air, it would be assumed to be a KPFK and Pacifica-sponsored event, and therefore KPFK would shoulder incredible liability should any mishap occur. So adequate insurance is an absolute must, and it is our fiduciary duty to ensure that no liability is incurred by KPFK and Pacifica. Next, it may be necessary to have staff presence in the phone room
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we have Raymond Goldstone, Kim Kaufman, Laura Levinson, and Janine Roan in that order. And Beth has a hand up, but we'll come back to the members in a minute. And I haven't spoken yet as a member either. Raymond?
Thank you. While I support the Spanish language programmers, I do not support the language of either the first paragraph or the amendment. It is inadequate. There has to be either approval from the station of this outside event or adequate indemnification of KPFK and Pacifica during the course of these outside events. Without that, we are in a very dangerous position. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim?
Hi, everyone. I agree with Raymond and Grace and with Fred, who says that governance should not get involved in this at all. I mean, there are claims of raising outside funds, but I haven't seen that supported anywhere at any time. The LSB never knows about it, never hears about it. We haven't heard about any funds coming to KPFK. There's no documentation of it. So that's weird. Also, the GM must know in advance what he is putting on the air. I mean, this is an FCC requirement. Otherwise, the GM will have, in effect, lost control of the station. So the GM has to know. Yes, Michael. Yes. He can't put on stuff without knowing what it is in advance and making sure that it's legitimate. Of course. And we can't say you have to put on whatever somebody wants you to put on. It has to be dealt with on an issue-by-issue basis. And as for the phone room, we don't know what the capacity is. We don't know what their phone situation is. The phones aren't working. They need to buy more phones, apparently. We don't know what the staff capacity is to set up phones for just a certain segment of the programmers. And, you know, COVID is still happening. So this is a problem.
Thank you. That's time. Laura Levinson is next.
Jesus Christ.
Laura?
Thank you. I have to leave at noon, so this is a different topic. Oh, shoot, I just... Okay, so I received 9 days ago an email from LSB Outreach, and in it there was a link which partially said the pandemic continues, but its origins are still a nefarious mystery. How did the world get sick? How did COVID really spread? And did the satanic elite tell the world about this bioweapon ahead of time? shocking connection between this pandemic and the eternal battle of good and evil, which began in the Garden of Eden. In this Stu Peters Network exclusive, they bring to light a truth Satan himself has fought to suppress. I find this language sent out by the LSB outreach to be, I take this very seriously. I find it very harmful. Over, this was 9 days ago, over the past week, I have asked them to distance themselves from this or disavow this, but they have declined to do so. And I put the quote in the chat. I have, because I have to leave soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Janine Rohn?
Yeah, calling you to number three again, Chair.
Yeah.
So I am the chair of the fundraising committee. I started it, revamped it again in September. And, you know, it's been really difficult to get anything off the ground. You know, we wanted to do a live event. We want to do phone banking. And certainly the changeover in the GM has been an issue and a new executive director. But because of that difficulty, you know, it's hard to say that, oh, leave it to management right now, and especially with the situation we're in. And I just think that, you know, it's the heart of our community. We're taking something that's working and we're making it more difficult. And even yesterday at the book fair, did we have our own insurance there? You know, I know that people went there as the outreach and were, you know, handing things out or whatever. So what is the protocol then with that? I feel like we're putting a blockade. It doesn't have to be a sponsored event. We could just promote it and say it's happening and that it's not necessarily a KPFK event. I mean, I think there's ways around this. And again, it's something that's working. It's something that's organic. And that's really what we have to get back to with this station. I feel like everybody's leaning back on getting grants. And this kind of outreach is what we should be doing more of. So thank you.
Time, Chair.
Okay, thank you. We're time for the comments. We're also at time for the public comment on this item, according to John Gary, who's keeping track of the time. So I have multiple hands went up from members of the board regarding the amendment, which is before us, and then we have to vote on the amendment and the main motion. I think we're at time for that whole item. So,
Chair, may I be recognized, Lawrence?
Okay. Well, I have Beth, Bella, yourself, and Myla in that order.
Would someone please call the question?
I wanted to extend time, Chair. Myla was not recognized.
Right.
I'd like to extend time for 6 minutes on this item.
Okay. Is there an objection to extending time on this? We're going to have to take it from something else.
Okay.
I heard one objection. I have four hands up of people who wish to speak. So we're just going to vote on extending time.
Bella?
I'm sorry. Ralph, can you call the roll on extending time? Otherwise, we're going to go to a vote on the amendment and the motion.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Alan Beek. Alan Beek.
Alan Beek is here. What are we voting on?
We're voting on extending time to discuss the motion, the amendments on the motion, for 6 more minutes. If we vote that down, we're going to go to an immediate vote on the amendment and then on the motion.
What? I don't know.
Alan Beek votes yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Marisol Cruz? Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Eric Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you. Avelia Jones?
Yes.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Abstain.
Ali abstains. Rob Macon?
Yeah.
Megan votes yes. Myla Reason?
No.
Myla votes no. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Jerry Rideau?
Yes.
Paul Roberson?
Yes.
Oscar Ulloa? Melina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Beth Von Gutten?
Yes.
Beth votes no. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
No, yes. Beth voted yes, Ralph.
Okay, Beth votes yes. Harvey Wasserman? Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Is that a pass or a yes?
Yes.
Thank you, Carlos. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Michael Novick votes yes. Circling back, Marisol Cruz?
That's a yes.
Marisol votes yes. Oscar Ulloa? Oscar, how do you vote? Harvey Wasserman?
Harvey's no longer on the call.
Oscar Ulloa? Not hearing anything from Oscar? Okay, one moment. Secretary records 16 yes votes, 1 no vote, 2 abstentions.
Okay, thanks. So we've extended for 6 more minutes. I have Beth Van Gunten, Bella DeSoto, Lawrence Reyes, and myself.
Can I go ahead?
Beth.
Thank you. Couple of points. One, I support the amendment in principle, but I share Raymond Goldstone's concerns that it's not adequate. I share my understanding that this is important and necessary. Another point, I would find it easier to support more if this motion, if it were separated into separate motions. Some could pass as is, while others could be sent back for further revision before being reconsidered. I think that the concerns raised in the motion are entirely legitimate, but they're not well addressed in the motion as written. And so I would ask the committee and those supporting it, please, to give greater attention to the formation of the motion so that we can get behind what you're trying to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella.
Yes. Does the station ever promote or announces on air, this is a sponsored community event with KPFK. Make sure that you have the proper insurance in place. I have never, ever heard that. All the outside events that the Spanish language programming has conducted and plans to continue conducting are simply promoted on air with no entanglements whatsoever. And this is a very simple process. Trying to change this and trying to block this by introducing such amendments, which was done before and it was voted down at the governance committee, is another way to prevent these programmers from doing what they're supposed to be doing. And at the same time, they're being criticized for not raising enough funds. So let's move on. And let's give the programmers the proper support as any other program can get over the airwaves. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So this is about a problem articulators that have not yet brought in a penny and are criticizing this motion.
I'm sorry.
They have not brought in a penny into this station.
The Spanish language, I've been to community events, the Spanish language programmers have put in cold cash into the station, which is highly necessary right now. If we're going to indemnify every event, then every event should be indemnified. We don't know, like for instance, the book fair, the LA Times Book Fair this past weekend. We don't know if that table was insured. We don't know what tables are insured when we are doing community events. People are trying to equate outside fundraising with this motion, and it is not. The KPFK Spanish language programmers do blood, sweat, and tears, are out there in the community addressing their communities and bringing needed funds and memberships into the station. So again, this is an enfranchising motion, not a disenfranchising motion. And I have been, some difficulty in regards to supporting the amendment at this point in time, because it does not address, as somebody said, the other class, the membership. There is no other class. My time is up.
Thank you.
I urge a no vote on the amendment.
I'm calling on myself to speak as a member of the body. I think that the language of the motion is clear. It says we support their efforts to raise funds for the station, and we urge the general manager, acting general manager, to support it with on-air promotion of such community events. There's no mandate there. There's no micromanaging. There's a statement of support from the local station board for such previously successful community fundraising efforts by the Spanish language programmers. And I would say that we support any such efforts. I think that's true. That's in the language, such community events. The station regularly media sponsors and announces on air many, many events of all kinds that are not the liability of the station. Further resolved that we support their request that no third-party answers calls, with the proviso that there should be exceptions for the third-party call service for overflow calls. This actually takes a burden off the staff, because the current procedure, as far as I'm aware of, is that staff members try to answer calls that come in and then only go to the overflow on the call service. So this would allow the volunteers to answer calls instead of the paid staff. The unpaid staff would be involved. So I think that the objections and the amendments are not pertinent, and I would oppose the amendments and support the motion. And I think we're probably at time again for the whole thing.
Yeah, we have time for you, Chair.
So, Ralph, on the amendment first. Grace's amendment is to amend the motion in two places. One is to add a proviso about liability insurance, and the other is to add a proviso about not overtaxing the staff. If that's adopted, then it will be incorporated. If it's defeated, we'll go to either way. We'll go to vote the main motion, either as is or as amended.
Okay, Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Grace votes yes. Christina Avalos.
No.
Alan Beek.
Alan is on Grace's amendment. You have to unmute Alan. Come back to him.
Okay. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Marisol Cruz?
No.
Marisol votes no. Bella DeSoto?
No.
Eric Jacobson?
Pass.
Avilia Jones?
Yes.
Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Thank you, Ellie. Rob Macon?
Abstains.
Rob Macon abstains. Myla Reason?
Yes.
Myla passes. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Jerry Rideau?
No.
Thank you. Paul Roberson? Still on the call?
I vote yes.
Paul votes yes. Oscar Ulloa? Oscar, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. I vote no.
Oscar, you have a vote no.
Okay, Oscar. Polina Vasiliev?
No.
Beth von Guten?
Yes.
Beth von Yes. Harvey Wasserman?
I think Harvey left the call.
Okay. Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Carlos votes yes. Michael Novick?
No.
Alan Beek? Alan Beek, how do you vote?
I'm sorry, Paul Robeson wants to change his vote.
Yeah, about, I'm sorry about that. I was doing something else. I vote no to that, to this.
Okay, gotcha, Paul. Myla Risa?
And Myla or Alan, you need to unmute to cast your vote on Grace's amendment.
Did you hear my vote?
No.
Oh, okay. I vote yes.
Myla votes
Myla.
Yes. Eric Jacobson?
Abstain.
Eric abstains. Alan Beek?
Alan, we're voting on Grace's amendment to the motion regarding Spanish language programming. Can you unmute and vote? Otherwise, there will be a no vote. Okay, give us the tally or as soon as you can.
Okay. Secretary records 7 yes votes, 9 no votes, and 3 abstentions.
Okay, the amendment is defeated. We'll vote on the main motion as it stands. Can you call the roll on that, please?
Okay, Grace Aaron?
No.
Say again? Grace, can
no.
you say again?
No?
No. Okay. Christina Avalos?
Abstain.
Christina abstains. Alan Beek? Fred Blair?
No.
Fred votes no. Marisol Cruz? Marisol?
Pass. What?
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Bella votes yes. Eric Jacobson?
Pass.
Julia Jones?
Abstain.
Ali Alexa?
Abstain.
Rob Minkin?
Abstain.
Myla Risa?
Abstain.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence votes yes. Ziri Rideau?
Yes.
Thank you, Ziri. Paul Roberson?
Abstain.
Paul abstains. Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Beth von Guten?
Regretfully, no.
Harvey Wasserman's not here. Carlos Zavala?
Abstain.
Carlos abstains. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Michael votes yes. Marisol Cruz?
That's the yes.
Marisol votes yes. Eric Jacobson?
I'll vote yes.
Okay. Alan Beek? All right, I put him down as an abstain. One moment.
Mr. Chair.
That's not voting, not an abstain.
Mr. Chair, this is not an abstention from Alan.
It's he didn't vote.
Maybe the parliamentarian could comment on that because...
It's a no vote?
Chair, point of order, Chair?
A non-vote is not an abstention.
All right. What's your point of order, Mr. Reyes? Please don't call out.
I believe that the parliamentarian has ruled at the PNB meetings in Zoom that when somebody is present and they don't cast their vote, that is counted as an abstention.
Correct.
Mr. Tatum could confirm that.
That's what I read in Robert's rules. So
but
in any event, it doesn't. No. It's an abstention, Mr. Chair.
Okay, that's John Tatum speaking. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Ralph, give us a tally again. I'm sorry.
I have 8 yes votes, 3 no votes, and 8 abstentions.
Okay, the motion carries. Moving on the agenda, the next item up is the third-party fundraising requirements. This is a motion from the Finance Committee. Whereas KPFK has been doing third-party fundraising, it has found it mutually beneficial to listeners, third parties, and the station. And if KPFK's general manager wants to continue to do this, therefore, the following are guidelines to maintain compliance, requirements for FCC compliance. All third-party donation thank you gift fundraising must be done during a regularly scheduled fund drive. All funds must come to the station. The percentage of the split must be under 50% to the third party. There should be no promises of a percentage made to the public or donee. Only, quote, a portion of the funds raised in this program will go to ... unquote. For KPFK Pacifica Foundation policy, all third-party donation thank you gift fundraising must follow the above FCC rules. All third-party donation thank you gift fundraising must be pre-approved by the general manager and national technical director position currently held by John Almella before each fund drive. That national technical director position is one of the compliance officers, just to clarify to people why he's named. The third parties must be vetted by the general manager and the interim CFO, a position currently held by Julia Kennard, before each fund drive. The general manager and the ICFO, currently held by Julia Kennard, to decide on the percentage. I'm sorry, please mute.
I just muted him. Go ahead, Chair.
GM and the ICFO, currently held by Julia Kennard, to decide on the percentage of the split before each fund drive. That's the motion in its entirety. Is there any discussion? I have a hand up from Lawrence.
Yeah, I'd like to yield to the chair of the KPFK Finance Committee to motivate.
Sure, Ken, did you want to speak to this?
Well, first of all, I did make some corrections, which you're reading from the old agenda, not the new agenda, which was sent out later yesterday. Because in it, I changed it to his proper title is Director of Engineering and Compliance.
Yeah,
that's John Almala's proper title. And this was approved by the Finance Committee on 3-2, and it was approved 13 yes to 3 no. And basically, this is just a policy for how to do this properly so we don't violate FCC rules and also disqualify us from CPB funding. So this is, you know, the DM already has this and is already using it. So it's basically a formality and could be used at other stations. So, because we didn't have guidelines before and we did have FCC violations. So this was just putting it down on paper, what should happen.
Thank you. I see a hand up from Bella DeSoto.
Yes, Mr.
And Beth Van Gunten. Go ahead, Bella first.
Thank you for recognizing, Mr. Chair. This is
yes.
Alex. Yes, I object to this motion. First of all, the minutes from 3-2-2022 of the Finance Committee have not, I repeat, have not been approved as of today. Therefore, beyond that, this already information is already within the purview of the general manager, and we should not be dealing with this. Plus, it's not the purview of the finance committee to push such material as a motion to the governance committee. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there additional members? Beth Van Gunten, go ahead, Beth.
Point of order, it did not go to the governance committee. That was a misstatement. It was approved by the finance committee. It goes on the agenda. Didn't go to the governance committee.
Chair, point of order. The member was not recognized.
Yeah, please. Okay. Please, people, don't call out. Beth Van Gunten was recognized to speak. The procedure is that committees make will bring do work on motions, bring them forward. The governance committee just puts them on the agenda. We don't discuss them as far as their content. It's on the agenda that we approved, and we're discussing it now as a motion. Beth is next, please.
Yes, I support the regularization of third-party fundraising within Pacifica. I don't recognize this motion as adequate to that task. This motion asks governance to make do, which governance has a duty of oversight wherever financial matters are concerned, especially regarding fundraising. And we're asked to make do with mere assurances, again, which is all I've had to this point. Listeners started raising concerns about third-party fundraising with me within the first few months that I was seated on the LSB. That's been a couple years ago, and I drafted a motion at the time to halt until we could bring it into order. That passed locally and got sidelined elsewhere. I think we need better documentation and better provisions for accountability and oversight in order to approve this. Ms. Kaufman has asserted here, there have been
time.
I'm sorry, Beth, finish your sentence.
Thank you. Yes, there have been violations reported and no way to clarify whether there have actually been violations or not. And I think we need a clearer motion.
Okay, thanks.
To address that. So regretfully, I can't support this.
Thank you. Lawrence?
Yes, I agree with my colleague Beth on this, on her assessment that this is not an adequate motion. I think this requires more time. It needs to be vetted out more, and it needs to even possibly pass the legal test in regards to getting maybe a legal opinion from our Pacifica Council. This requires more time, and I think it is not adequate, and I would urge a no vote on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any additional?
Mr. Chair, may I speak again? This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
I want to say that the Director of Engineering and Compliance did get a FCC, our FCC attorney, a legal opinion from our FCC attorney. So this is FCC compliant. That is why this stuff is in there. You might want to do more, but this is the bare minimum of what needs to be done in order not to violate FCC rules.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Is there any public comments on this item? Or Beth, you have your hand up again, and Bella. Okay, Beth first, and then Bella.
Very briefly, yes, it's important to comply with FCC regulations, but there's more that apply here than just that. There's CPB, and there's California 501c3, as well as good accounting practices. So, again, I assert that while I support the intention in principle, I don't think this is an adequate effort. Thank you.
Okay, we only have about a minute left. I'm going to go to people who haven't spoken yet. I'm sorry. Grace Aaron?
Yes. I agree that there is room for improvement in this policy. I agree with Beth on that. However, I think that some regulation regarding the third-party fundraising is better than no regulation. This policy can be modified and expanded in the future, but right now I am in favor of it.
Okay, thanks. So we're at time. I do want to take a little public comment before we vote, and I'm sorry for the members who didn't have a chance to speak. Raymond, and I have someone on the phone, 213, is that a member of the public? Raymond, go ahead.
Thank you. I believe that the LSB should support this motion. It can be augmented if necessary, but you don't stop bailing from a sinking boat and wait for the invention of whatever made it sink. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that Janine on 213?
I think so.
Go ahead. Did you still wish to speak? Your hand went down. Did you still want to speak?
This is Janine Roan, and I just wanted to, one, chime in that the minutes from the Finance Committee have not been submitted. They haven't been approved or submitted, so it's hard to say what the Finance Committee felt about this. But if a legal attorney has been consulted, I would hope that we could offer up the opinion so that it's not hearsay, that there would actually be a legal opinion about this. I agree that there needs to be some kind of regulation, but it shouldn't be done, I would rather see the board consider a legal opinion on it before acting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're at time, so we'll go to a vote on the motion as read. Ralph, call the roll.
Okay, one moment. Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Thank you. Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Thank you. Alan Beek? Moving on. Jose Benavides? Whoops. Wait a minute. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Sandy Childs? Not here. Marisol Cruz? Marisol, how do you vote?
Is
that a pass? Okay. Marisol, let's see. Bella DeSoto?
No.
Thank you. Eric Jacobson?
A pass.
Adelia Jones?
Yes.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
Yes.
Ali votes yes. Rob Macon?
Yes.
Rob votes yes. Barbara Marbach? Not here. Myla Reason?
Yes. Myla votes yes.
Thank you, Myla. Lawrence Reyes?
No.
Lawrence votes no. Ziri Rideau? Ziri, how do you vote?
She left the meeting.
She had to leave, yeah.
Okay. Paul Roberson?
No.
Paul Roberson votes no. Oscar Ulloa?
No.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev?
No.
Beth von Guten?
No.
Carlos Zavala?
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
Yes.
Circling back, Marisol Cruz?
No.
So votes no. Eric Jacobson?
Abstain.
Jacobson abstains. Okay, I think that's everyone. Hold on. That's 9 yes votes, 7 no votes, and 2 abstentions.
Dan, you're muted.
I only have 1 abstention.
Well, I don't know what to do with Alan Beek. Is he still on the call?
Oh, no.
Doesn't matter.
I don't.
Alan Beek is still on the call, but he didn't vote. So he abstains.
Alan, can you hear us? You're muted.
Already. I asked him to unmute instead of me.
The tally is 9 yes, 7 no, 2 abstentions.
Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. Next item up of unfinished business is the fundraising committee motion. Move the KPFK fundraising committee request the National Development Task Force post information on kpfdx.org on how to participate in their meetings, and that the Pacifica National Board Strategic Planning Committee provide listener members with the ability to listen to their meetings in real time and post that information along with an official recording of each of their meetings on kpfdx.org, knowing that the committee will move to executive session for any subject matter deemed necessary.
Chair, may I be recognized, Lawrence?
Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to move that we hear from the fundraising committee, Chair.
That's what I was going to do, is ask the fundraising chair to motivate it, as we did with the previous motion from the finance committee. Janine?
Hi, thank you. I'm actually in transit somewhere, but this has been an ongoing thing. One of the discussion points is what we're doing on a national level fundraising wise. And we, unless someone writes to the chair of these two meetings, they have no way of joining. And so certainly I've been able to, listener members aren't able, often don't think to do that days ahead of time in order to get access to these meetings. And these are important. We need to know what fundraising efforts are being done, and the listener members need to know as well. So this just is a, democratic, it's a motion to aid in the democracy of the foundation. Thank you.
Thank you. I see hands up from members. Bella DeSoto.
I also see caller user 4, Mr. Chair, from the
board. Yeah, board members, Bella.
Yeah, that's taking comment from board members, Bella, just okay. To speak or okay. You.
So I want to, am I being recognized, Mr. Chair?
Yes, you were recognized. To speak for yourself,
thank you.
Please.
Thank you. So I wanted to speak to us as a member of the fundraising committee. This motion was actually passed in January. We are at the end of April, and it is now when it is being heard. And so this is not good regarding procedure. This motion is critical. We must urge all the committees, all the bodies that meet on behalf of the membership and the listeners of Pacifica Radio to make their meetings available to all. And this is urgent. Thank you. And this has been going on for even before that motion. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Beth Van Gunten and then Paulina.
Yes, I chair the National Development Task Force at the request of that task force. It was established before my time, before I knew anything about it. It was established deliberately as a task force and not as a committee so that it wouldn't get bogged down in the kind of internecine politicization of process and issues that plague most of our committees.
I've continued with it as it was handed to me, although I do, they are, that the meetings are at least posted on KPFCX at this point, and are, have now grown to about three times the size they were when I first became fair, like 6 or 8 months ago. And everyone who has ever expressed any interest in this task force, what has been added permanently to the list for notification, that includes the maker of this motion, who attends at sometimes at some meetings and at other meetings doesn't, and nevertheless continues to get regular notice of the meetings. It does not elude my notice that the people hammering on this issue are those most likely with the greatest history of doing what they can to disrupt the agenda during meetings. Thank you.
Okay, please don't refer to individual members or cast aspersions on people's motivations, as you asked others not to do with you.
I have cited patterns of behavior. Thank you.
Paulina?
I'd like to comment on the issue of posting adequate information as to how to listen or how to join is easily resolved by posting whether, if the meeting is being held on Zoom, posting not just the Zoom link, but also the call-in numbers for those who don't use Zoom. And as for streaming, if it's held on, we're not, by FCC, we're not obligated to stream, especially if the meeting is already being held in a, online, is publicly accessible, right? Later, if the whole convener of the meeting notifies Otis McClay, he can post the audio afterwards, but he doesn't need a reminder. He doesn't do that automatically. Now, as for the difference between committees and task forces, my understanding as well is that a task force is not a subcommittee of the PNB and therefore is not subject to the same rules of, say, Roberts, or even, I'm not sure about whether it's also the task force meeting should be streamed as well or announced publicly. I applaud the fact that the task force in question does hold their meetings publicly, and I would suggest that they do, in fact, publish the information as to how to join the meeting publicly on the KPFTX as well. So I guess I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a hand up from John Tatum, who's the PNB parliamentarian. Did you wish to comment about this, Mr. Tatum?
Yes, I just wanted to say that there's no difference between a task force and a special committee.
Okay, thank you.
I stand corrected.
Calling myself, I think the motion should read the KPFK local station board request rather than the KPFK fundraising committee if we adopt it. I'm assuming that I don't know what technical amendment would be acceptable to everybody, regardless of what their position on the motion is. If we adopt it, it would be from the local station board, not from the fundraising committee. I see that. I have hands up from Janine, Lawrence, and Beth, and Bella. So, Janine, did you want to speak again?
I haven't spoken on this item.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's correct, Lawrence. You haven't spoken at all. Go ahead, Lawrence, first.
Thank you.
Sorry, this is Janine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Lawrence hasn't spoken at all yet, so we're going to go to him first, and then we'll come back to you. Thank you.
So there are rules, and there are best practices. And I think that we need to be as transparent as possible these days. And if that means posting the information of a task force that is taking care of proprietary business, I think that's a best practice, right? So that's all I wanted to say about that, and I would like to consider supporting this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. So Janine, Beth, and Bella, and then we'll take some public comment. We have about a minute left, however.
Thank you. I, want to respond to the disparaging type comment from Beth. you know, this is going on in a couple of committees where the first instinct is to say that somebody's trying to be disruptive when they're actually just trying to point something out. And that's really what this is. So this is fundraising that or grant writing that's going on. And this is a fundamental thing. You know, we're supposed to be self-sustaining, and yet we're doing fundraising. And I understand these times warrant, you know, the consideration of that. But to demonize somebody who's asking questions and want to make the discussion available and want the recordings available or the minutes, there is no record of what goes on in these meetings. None. And if you're live streaming, I mean, you can't even live stream it. If somebody's doing the meetings on Zoom, they have control over that recording and can forward it and put it up. But at least there should be minutes. And I'm just disappointed at that's the first thing that will come out of somebody's mouth that doesn't like somebody questioning their procedures. It's just a shame.
Okay, thanks. I have a hand up from Eric who hasn't spoken, and then we're actually at time on this item.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I think there needs to be a broader discussion on this issue. The task force had a particular origin, and part of the thinking was that there needed to be an ability to speak mildly off the record amongst concerned members of the task force, all of whom at the original time were members of LSBs. And we've sort of casually changed our attitudes toward composition of committee memberships, which is not the subject I want to, open up in a brief comment here. But it's not self-evident to me that total and complete transparency in the Pacifica task force involving development is a good thing. We've had actually a little bit more productive and candid idea generating meetings before it was opened up earlier this year. And I've been on that task force since joining the board in December 2019 when it was first put together in early 2020. So I just think this needs to be more carefully considered and debated about the wisdom and utility of this idea that everything is synonymous with ultra democratization is to the good of the Pacifica Foundation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we're at time on this item. I'll take some brief public comment, which will come out of the public comment time, and then we have to move to a vote. Calling user three.
User number four was first, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was first. This is Jonathan Markowitz.
Go ahead.
Okay. I definitely agree with Eric's point that there needs to be much more discussion on this issue. However, this isn't just about the Development Task Force, which I would like to get another clarification from the parliamentarian about the classification of that committee. But at the end of my comment, please. What's actually going on here is an obfuscation of accountability in regards to most of Pacifica's board meetings. And I'm referring to the posting of recordings of Pacifica board meetings and committee meetings on KPFTX, the lack of posting of recordings, the lack of live streaming of meetings, regardless of what formats they are, whether Zoom or regular telephone conference calling. The lack of call-in numbers posted publicly. Without question, under no circumstance should any meeting, including the Development Task Force meeting, under law, as far as I'm concerned, under California Corporate Code, should not be posted, that being the recordings of these meetings. All Pacifica board meetings, and when I'm talking about Pacifica, I'm talking about the local board meetings as well, as well as any meetings that have been established, regardless of their category, should always be recorded and posted for the record. And what that means is, without doing so, we have no accountability. I just want to point out to everybody who has not gone and looked at.
We have time, Chair.
Let me finish.
Okay, thanks.
Let me finish.
Finish the one sentence, please.
Finish, please. I encourage everyone on this meeting and everyone who hears this meeting to check out the archive page of KPFTX. Going back at least a year, if not 2 years, there's barely even 10% of any of the meetings, recordings, posted, even though most of them that say archive soon.
Okay,
but
thank
we
you.
We need to deal with this.
I'm sorry, you finished the sentence, you're at time.
The point is that this...
I'm sorry, Colin, user three, and then Andrew.
Oh, thanks very much. I wanted to say that our meeting should be open. Ideas are ideas. If the committee doesn't like it and if the board doesn't like it, then you don't have to approve it. But why restrict yourself to hearing the thoughts of people who already take up plenty of the public space? There's nothing in your title as an LSB member that guarantees that your ideas are good, that you're intelligent, that you know about Pacifica, or that you'll be here forever. That's why we spend so much time reinventing the wheel and doing work that has been done thoroughly before, because people think they need to keep all the information to themselves. It's not that kind of party. You're in the wrong organization if that's your attitude. You know, open up the meetings. Post it. Let people come. What are you afraid of?
Thank you. Andrew?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Andrew White here. I agree with the last comment just made, and my apologies for going off topic somewhat, but while we're talking about transparency, accountability, and the democratic process, I would like to comment about the report to the listener by the general manager and the local station board. While we have a week left in this month, I'm not aware if it's been announced or scheduled for the required report to the listener for this month for the general manager as well as the local station board. And since the general manager will be coming on, I think, to address this body, I would like to give him the opportunity to announce the report to the listener, which is required, mandated by the Pacifica National Board. And under his job description for the general manager, give him the opportunity to stick to his word, to schedule it for this month, and to go ahead and do that report to the listener as well as for the local station board before other comments are made after his report. Thank you.
Thanks. Just a brief response on that. The local station board was scheduled to be on air last month on the Lawyers Guild show. It was preempted by the confirmation hearings for Justice Jackson. So we're rescheduled for this month on the 27th, which is Wednesday, 2 p.m. So we're at time for this item, and we're going to go to a vote on the fundraising committee motion.
This is Beth. I'd like the committee to respond to many of the charges that have been made on matters of fact.
Well, unless you want to move for an extension of time and take it from something else.
So I move to extend for 3 minutes.
Is there an objection to extending for 3 minutes? Hearing none, go ahead, Beth, but try to keep your remarks to 90 seconds if you can.
I've got a list to respond to from things that have already been discussed.
Just go ahead.
The National Development Task Force reports regularly, publicly, monthly, in writing to the PNB. There's your accountability. No one has ever once been turned away from that meeting. No one, not one person. The meetings are now.
This is Alan B. Can I get in the conversation?
Hang on, Alan. Someone else is speaking. You'll get a turn because we extended for 3 minutes. Go ahead, Beth. Please continue.
I take my guidance from the CPB compliance officer, Otis McClay, whom I asked to stream the meetings when I first was asked to take on responsibility for them. He says that National has no obligation to stream task forces, and he turned down my request. So those resources are not available to me. I'd like to point out, too, that presently there are no criteria for membership on task forces so that if enough people show up to swamp the regular participants, there's nothing to stop them from outnumbering us and flat out taking over. There's already been one attempt to do that. And I feel that I get a lot of backing from almost everyone, all the regular participants on that meeting. It feels like this task force has been under assault and like I've been asked to defend it. To defend
its ability that's
to function.
Time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Beth. Alan, go ahead.
Yes, I believe that people should be able to have a private conversation with each other without having to give notice of it or have it recorded or make all sorts of arrangements corresponding to Robert's Rules of Order. We should just be able to talk to each other and think about things. And when we come up with things, we might find others that want to talk with us. Maybe three or four of us would talk together on the same subject and make some real progress. And that could be reported after we had come up with a conclusion. But I do not think it is good to make us record everything we do along the way. It just sabotages the effort, makes it too much work to do anything at all, and we accomplish very little that way. I think that the things that are going to go to a committee meeting and actually be dealt with in a committee should be sent as emails to all the persons going to that meeting so they all have it there in writing ahead of time and they know
Thank
what
you.
We're
Good.
Talking about. And if we are asked for a vote, they know what it is they're voting on. Thank
okay,
you.
Thanks, Alan. We're at time for the whole item, so we're going to go to a vote. I'm sorry, Bella, we're at time for the whole item. We extended for 3 minutes and we expired it. So we're going to go to a vote on the motion from the fundraising committee, I think with the technical amendment that it would say the KPFK local station board requests rather than the KPFK fundraising committee requests. Can you call the roll, Ralph?
A clarification for that
what
motion, Mr. Chair. I am a member of that and former secretary. This is addressing both the development task force and the strategic planning
committee. Yes, we're aware. I'll reread the motion before we vote. Move that the KPFK local station board formally request the National Development Task Force post information on kpftx.org on how to participate in their meetings, and that the Pacifica National Board Strategic Planning Committee provide listener members with the ability to listen to their meetings in real time and post that information along with an official recording of each of their meetings on kpftx.org, knowing that the committee will move to executive session for any subject matter deemed necessary. So Ralph's going to call the roll on that.
Okay, Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Christina Avalos?
Yes.
Is that a pass?
Yes.
Yeah, pass.
Okay. Alan Beek?
Alan Beek votes yes.
Thank you, Alan. Fred Blair?
No.
Fred votes no. I think Marisol left the meeting.
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, you are? How do you vote?
That's a yes.
A yes.
Marisol Cruz.
Okay, Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Bella votes yes. Eric Jacobson?
A pass.
Cordelia Jones?
No.
Cordelia votes no. Rob Macon?
Yes.
Rob votes yes. Myla Reason?
No. Myla votes no.
Thank you, Myla. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Lawrence votes yes. Paul Roberson?
Paul's gone, secretary.
Okay. Oscar?
No, Paul's here. He's on mute. I had to be on mute. Sorry.
Paul, how do you vote? Paul, are you there?
Pepe, he's muted.
Okay, I'll come back to him. Oscar Ulloa?
I vote yes.
Oscar votes yes. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Thank you, Polina. Beth von Gutten?
No.
Beth votes no. Carlos Zavala?
No.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Grace Aaron?
No.
Christina Avalos?
No.
Thank you. Eric Jacobson?
Abstain.
Eric abstains.
You want to go back to Paul Roberson, Secretary?
Yeah, Paul Roberson.
I have to abstain. I was actually off the line. I clicked back on because I was disconnected, but I don't know what we're voting on.
We're voting on the Fundraising Committee motion to call on the Strategic Planning Committee to publish
and its
Development Task Force to put up notice of how to participate.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Paul votes yes. I think that's everybody. Hold
can
on.
Can I vote, Ralph?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Alexa. Go ahead, Ali. How do you vote?
Go ahead, Ali.
I vote no. Vote. Hello?
Ali, Alexa, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay. One moment. Secretary records 9 yes votes, 8 no votes, and 1 abstention.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
9 yes, 8 no, 1 abstention.
Okay, motion is carried. Okay, moving on the agenda, that was the last bit of unfinished business. We're going to the general manager's report. Is Stuart Lanau still on the call?
Yes, he is.
Mr. Chair, there is another motion on the agenda that has not been resolved.
I'm sorry, that was the last piece of unfinished business that I'm aware of on the agenda. We're going to new business, and the first item is the general manager's report. There are plenty of other motions, but they're under new business. Sorry, Bill, please allow the general manager to speak.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Stuart. Thank you. Sorry.
Hi. Another very busy period. This mini drive that we just ended brought in around $55,000 gross. Obviously, there's going to be some costs out of that, but, you know, it's a good start. Next Tuesday, the Archives is having their fund drive, which will take up pretty much all of our broadcast day. So we're supporting that, and that's taking up some of my time as well as others to make sure that that's a success. As far as the phone room, we don't have the phones, and we don't want to have people together. So that's kind of a moot point right now. I wish it were the case. I know that was discussed earlier. But the phone system pretty much is working, but it's very limited because of the mistakes that were made when that was contracted out to another person who may or may not still be a employee of Pacifica. This individual is the general manager, chief engineer of KPFA, and he lives in Pennsylvania, which is a rather awkward situation since it's a hands-on daily commitment. I'm currently serving as the chief engineer, the general manager, and by default, the program manager. And we are looking at all programs at all times with the idea of trying to improve the situation. Obviously, the same old schedule, the same old thing is not working properly. I'm not making changes for the sake of changes. It's well-considered decisions, I believe. And a number of people are involved in those things, not only myself, but obviously, you know, the buck stops with me in terms of implementing what we do. As was mentioned earlier, there were claims that the Spanish broadcasters, who I believe operate in prime time, have brought in tens of thousands of dollars, yet nobody seems to know about it. So I don't believe that's a valid. I mean, maybe that's over the last 50 years. I don't know, but certainly not recently. And they will be looked at as well as others. I have no idea what sort of programs they have because I don't speak Spanish and I have to rely on others. By the way, there were 200 and I'm just looking at if you're 248 pledges during this mini pledge start. The next one will start on April 3rd. And May 3rd through June 4th. That's the proposed time. And we've polled all of the presenters, all the programmers, to see if they intend to pitch on the air for us or not. And if not, they most likely will be preempted with something that will make some money from the station. Money is the prime goal right now. We're still in a very precarious situation. If the board can figure out some ways to attract listeners and hence make some money, that would be terrific. We'd certainly need listeners. The U.S. government will not give us money unless we can prove financial stability and listeners. And according to the local numbers, we're not doing very well. We have the potential for 12 million adult listeners, and we're getting such a small fraction of that right now that it's really pitiful. And, you know, I won't go into past deeds and past mistakes and all that sort of thing. Certainly COVID has you know, shot us in the knees, but I'm just waiting, you know, for the next problem to come up with that. And that's one of the reasons we don't have an active phone room. When we get the new phones, which should operate a lot better than the ones we got stuck with without ever asking anybody what they wanted, we should get some extra ones for the phone room. And then we can set that up. Terry Guy has been out sick for several weeks. And a lot of these questions revolve around him. Now, he's available on the phone, but the other thing that was discussed, I believe, was the responsibility of management in terms of when a phone room is run. And to have people who are unvetted dealing with people's credit card numbers is a real big problem, which is why we need people there in management, or in Terry's case, as a supervisor, to make sure that these things are handled properly. I don't know a great deal about that, but it's been the subject of a lot of discussion. I will try my best to have a program this week, devote an hour of a statement, and then questions from the listeners. It's just the time is such a premium right now for me because we're wearing three hats, but I know that that needs to be done, and we're providing your board with time. I'm not sure which day that is, but well, we're not. You know, it's just taking over another program, but that's fine.
Okay, thanks, Stuart.
That's all I have to say right now. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, thank you. We're pretty much at time for that. We'll take some board comments and then public comments, questions. Lawrence Reyes has a hand up. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Stu, for your report. In regards to the person that lives in Pennsylvania, are you talking about the engineer out of WPFW, not KPFA? And then I have a follow-up.
KPFA.
Okay, thank you.
He's the one that caused all the harm under the behest of under the instructions of Miguel. And I had asked him to come back and finish what he had started, but turns out he's not even in the state. So
I'm sorry. I think that was actually an initiative from James Sagerton and the National Finance Committee. Urged the use of the person who did the phones at KPFA to come down here. Go back, Lawrence, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. So in regards to the Spanish language program and bringing in money, they bring in cash. I never said tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know who does bring that much in. But throughout the years, as long as I've been around, there have always been in cash at a community events. So I just wanted
that
to correct that.
That's really fraught with problems. That's really fraught with problems.
Well, they've accounted for it. They've accounted for it.
I'm not saying anything was wrong, but, we could be challenged on that.
Well, I'm not looking for a challenge. I'm looking for collaboration. Thank you.
I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think a penny was brought in, but what the heck?
No, that was not, that was a, that was not a Pata Marcha rally, nothing to do with the station. I'm sorry. Eric, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to make one humble recommendation, which is that during the last fund drive, I thought the host of anti-war radio, Scott Horton, did an excellent job of pitching. And in past years, he's been preempted virtually automatically. And at a time of open land warfare in Europe, we need the voice of anti-war radio louder and stronger than ever. And I'd like to respectfully urge you to give full consideration to allowing him to pitch during the forthcoming fund drive, Scott Horton of anti-war radio. I also wanted to ask a quick question about the support we get from the local institution. I won't even name them, but the what comes across the radio a few times a day is support comes from thus and such organization. And that, to me, connotes a form of underwriting, which I actually support. And I was wondering whether consideration might be given to soliciting similar organizations for support of a like nature. It's a very innocuous and articulate little underwriting, neutral sounding. It's, to me, something we should be doing more of. And I know it's a nuanced and difficult and a little bit fraught subject. But this is not an organization that's known for to be a for-profit institution. It's happens to be a local cultural institution primarily. And there are others like them that I don't know that we have similar relationships with, but I'm personally in favor of cultivating those relationships and hopefully translating them into at least a modest revenue stream. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. I have Bella and then Grace. You have to unmute yourself, Bella.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, Stuart. Just to clarify, the Spanish language programming has brought in a very sizable amount of money in the last 10 years to the station, some of which I will make sure that receipts are gathered, pictures with the GMs are gathered, and I also fought the finance committee to have those funds shown on the P&L in a separate line item, but that has not happened. And for that reason, those funds were lumped. And so since you don't have the history, the Spanish language programming has brought in sizable amounts under the last 10 years because they saw it necessary to go outside of the mold as not getting the proper support on air and preemptions, and they have not been able to fundraise adequately. Going to what I am against any such endorsement. This is the slippery slope which PBS and NPR began in, and they're fully fetched commercial entities. And further, the last Sunday's 2 weekends ago event in Lincoln Park had nothing to do with fundraising for the station. It was simply community event, which we were given an opportunity to speak to promote the station. Thank you, and to
thanks,
outreach.
Okay.
Thanks.
Grace is next.
Yeah,
Grace Aaron, go ahead.
Thank you so much for your good work, Stuart. It's much appreciated. I'd like to ask if we have any listenership numbers, and if you could provide them to the LSB. Also, if there are any financial fund drive numbers that could be provided to the Finance Committee. I know that they are to some extent, but I would encourage that. But also the listenership numbers.
Okay. As far as the money, once we resolve this, we'll give you some. I mean, the raw numbers are kind of meaningless. And I'll see if I can find some of the local ratings, you know, as a percentage. That's what we get. And I don't know who gets that. I've only seen it once.
This is Michael Lovick. I did actually send it to the local station board. Somebody else provided it from, I think it's called Radio Insights or something, that showed the five Pacifica stations. KPFK listenership dropped between February and March, according to those figures, by about 10,000 listeners. I think that's because there was a more extensive fund drive in March, and I think we typically do lose listeners during the fund drives, especially when they go on. So that's been a longstanding problem and issue. I think it's led to, you know, the steady decline in our listenership.
This is Anthony. I speak, Michael.
Sure, go ahead.
I sent out public comment. This isn't public comment. This is a pressure. I sent out the February fund drive stats to the Finance Committee. I mean, this present campaign is ongoing. I can send the latest to the Finance Committee tonight. So the Finance Committee does have those numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. So we will take some public comment. Andrew Weiss.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Chair Michael. This is Andrew Weiss. Thank you, Stuart Landau, for coming on and addressing us regarding the report to the listener. While I have a lot of support for the general manager and I appreciate his work, saying regarding the report to the listener, he will try his best is inadequate. In my opinion, it is mandated by the Pacifica National Board, the governing body of this network. Mandate does not mean try to do it or perhaps not do it. If the report to the listener is not done this month and every month, as it is mandated, the general manager is violating and ignoring the mandate of the Pacifica National Board. That is an autocrat action. That is being an autocrat, ignoring the will and the mandate of the governing body and the democratic process. I'm wondering what the Pacifica National Board members think about this, as well as the local station board, as well as the listeners. And I hope Mr. Landau will fulfill his commitment to do the report to the listener and communicate with the listeners as is needed. I think it's a simple matter. It's quite simple. Just go on the air and do it, Mr. General Manager. Thank you.
I'm Ruth Strauss to the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Ruth. On the phone, you can use star 9, I think, to raise your hand, but go ahead, Ruth.
No, I would love to use that, but during the meeting the other night, I kept using star 9, and nobody ever noticed that I'd raised my hand and star 6 and all of that. Anyway, I want to offer a different opinion I think Mr. Landau, you know, can go on and make some short statements just like he did now. He is the chief engineer. The station does not function without him. He's also trying to look at programming and he's, you know, doing this other interim thing. I think his plate is quite full and I believe that some slack should be cut. He has also stated that, you know, he really hasn't had a lot of time to study everything. Maybe he can call on individual people, to be with him. Like Kim has a very good handle on the financial part of things and Beth has a handle on national things. In any case, I think that's being very harsh. And, if he needs to make, you know, a report, then it either should be brief and he should be allowed to say, I don't know, I haven't been here long enough, or have other people there to supplement it. Thank you.
Thank you. I have someone on the phone calling user 4. You know, you might not know but that you're calling user 4, but if you have a hand up because you're on the phone and it's a public comment, please proceed. You have to unmute yourself. The person on the phone who wishes to make a public comment, please unmute yourself. There you go.
This is Jonathan Markowitz. Regarding report to the listener, which is required of each general manager, I mean, the purpose of this is really for the managers to hear what the listeners think. So in a sense, the title of this function is sort of in reverse. In other words, report to the listeners really should take calls from the listeners. But I want to make an editorial point about this. Really going back pretty much the entire time I've been a listener, which goes back to 87, there's pretty much a culture in Pacifica where the general managers really don't care what the listeners think. And that's pretty much the case of staff as well. So this is the problem with Pacifica, is that each of the signal areas function as a closed, you know, shop. There is no way to really have power over programming decisions other than the decisions made by the general managers and the program directors. Yes, there's a very difficult financial deficit right now, which is not being solved, but I really think what's actually going on here is there really is no interest to generate adequate listener sponsorship for Pacifica anymore.
Thank you.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
You know, I'm trying to tell you,
I'm sorry,
nobody else wants
you're
to
at time.
Here.
There is a hand up besides you, and we're almost at time for the entire meeting. Calling you the 3, the other person on the phone, raise their hand.
Thanks very much. I'll be brief. I want to thank you for showing up and doing the report. Not everyone actually does this. The report to the listener, a friend reminds me all the time, really should be called the report to and from the listener, because it is an organized opportunity for you as a person in management and being in a position to make decisions to hear from listeners, whether it's about fundraising or I still haven't gotten my premium and it's been 3 years or whatever it is. So it's important to keep that two-way communication happening. Half the time is supposed to go to listener calls anyway. So with all the jobs you're doing, and yes, it gives a whole new definition to multitasking, it's important to have that opportunity available. And also the other part of the communications motions include having a useful newsletter go out to the membership, and having staff meetings, both paid and unpaid staff. You should be meeting with them, and it's a lot to squeeze into your, you know, 30-hour day, but please work on it, get it done. Thanks.
Thank you. I just want to point out to everyone, we only have 6 minutes remaining in the meeting because we set a time certain of 1 p.m. and it's 12:54. We're at time for this item, and the next piece of business is the director's reports. I believe Avelia and Ali already had to leave the call. Oh, no, Avelia is still here. Emily, did you have anything you want to report from the Pacific National Board?
Quarters.
Excuse me. All right. Marisol and I are co-chairs, and we have met along with several other members, but I want to forward this to Marisol. Is she on the call right now?
I believe she left.
Okay. Well, no, we don't have an official report ready for you at this time. I'm getting echo.
Sorry. I muted Grace. That's right. Okay, proceed.
Yeah, we don't have an actual report except to say that we did meet, and we have not turned in written minutes, and so we're remiss in that respect. But it was well attended, and we have a lot of work to do in order to figure out what our responsibilities are going to be and what we can fulfill in this year. So Marisol and I will be speaking to each other in 24 hours within that period of time, and we'll give a very thorough report about what we think we can accomplish this year, and then we'll get your reactions as a board. There's a problem, in my opinion, about the Committee for Inclusion and Outreach, but we have very similar goals and yet very different ones, as I can elaborate later. I'm sorry to speak to you this way. I'm in two different meetings.
That's okay.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, just to clarify to everyone, that was a report from the PNB Committee of Inclusion for KPFK that Abelia just gave.
But this is a good time for me to ask an outgoing question, because I'm amongst, again, the people who are new to this organization. To what extent does the Committee of Inclusion involve going out for the Africans, the Koreans and Asians of all descriptions, Japanese, everyone who is in the city who considers themselves to be outside of the Caucasian description? So we hear from Spanish programmers all the time, and I don't feel that by any means Spanish-speaking people are omitted, but when I'm outreaching, I'm asking to reach to people who are not a part of that group. So that would be whites and Hispanics. Other than those two categories, which I hate to use, but they're facts, how often has the Pacifica really made an issue of outreaching to those people?
That's the purpose of the Committee of Inclusion and other efforts, is to reach particularly people who are underrepresented and underserved, a lot of those committees that you mentioned. The other director we have with us, I think, is Lawrence Reyes and Beth Van Gunten. Beth did an extensive written report, which I posted to the KPFK.org website under the LSB PNB page. Lawrence.
Yeah, I just want to thank Beth for putting her report together. As some of you know, my shoulder is still out. I'm waiting for a dragonfly mouse that would allow me to be able to transcribe my spoken word into print. But I do want to bring up something that Beth didn't include in her report. And that is the possibility of we are outside the elections compliance right now, delegate election that is coming up in June. So I want to remind everybody of Article 4, Delegates Section 5, election timeline frame. I have sent a request for this item to be on the open session agenda for our next open session meeting. In regards to, there might be a possibility that we may have to change the timeline frame for the delegates election. So that's one of the things. But I want to compliment and highlight Beth's report. It's pretty thorough.
Okay.
And I appreciate it. She allows me to sign on to it. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks. Beth, go ahead. We have about a minute remaining in the meeting.
Thank you. As Lawrence mentioned, he's asked to sign on to this, and Ali is prepared to sign on to it, too. I haven't gotten to I haven't heard back from Avalia yet to know, but the report is thus. Pacifica's financial situation remains precarious. The burden of legal disputes undermining Pacifica's financial well-being is lamentably almost exclusively between Pacifica and past and present, resulting in the foundation hemorrhaging legal fees. At some point, we have to ask, qui bono? Who benefits? Whose possible advantage is this? How does this possibly serve the best interest of Pacifica, to which all those of us in governance owe a personal fiduciary duty and a duty of care? At what point do we each choose to prioritize Pacifica's continued existence over factional disputes? As the old song says, we're supposed to be some kind of different. As with so many nonprofits these days, Pacifica's reserves have been depleted. Revenue is down significantly year over year, undermined by internecine disputes and overt efforts to dissuade long-term supporters from making good on their commitment to the network. How is this at the best interest of Pacifica? We continue to service our debt and have paid down a significant portion of the principal, though further debt remains. The EIDL loan greatly reduces the cost of part of that debt and allows us many more years to pay it off, buying us time. Net is in the final stages of completing the 2021 audit on schedule, keeping us current, and continues to report regularly on Pacifica finances month by month. Those stations struggling the most, WBAI, KPFT, KPFK, are being closely monitored. The PNB has approved budgets for the affiliates, WBAI and WPFW. The KPFT budget has passed the NFC and is ready for presentation to the PNB. Other budgets remain in preparation and will be brought forth as each is ready. Each budget completed is a step forward in the process of revising our chart of accounts. That puts us well ahead of where we were at this time last year, which itself was far, far ahead of where we had been for many years before that. Recovering incrementally from the state of deterioration into which Pacifica had been allowed to fall, month by month, Pacifica continues to make steady progress to restore standard operating procedures and bring order to our finances. For my part, I continue to do all I can to attend all meetings, meet all organizational commitments, and honor our mutual duty of fidelity to Pacifica. In what I see as clearly an existential crisis for the network, I beseech my colleagues across the board, without exception, to set aside factional differences for now and prioritize the well-being and continued existence of Pacifica as a whole while we still have the chance. Or in these fraught times, we will have little chance ever to recover anything remotely resembling Lou Hill's vision if Pacifica once slips from our hands. The situation is that dire. Please stand together with Pacifica, for Pacifica, in this, our hour of greatest need. Again, as the old song says, we got to keep on keeping on, because if we don't do it, ain't nobody gonna. But if we can't do it with a smile on our face and love in our hearts, we got no right to do it at all. And it just means we ain't learned nothing yet. We're supposed to be some kind of different. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that report. Again, I reiterate, I did post it to kpfk.org. If you go to the support KPFK in the navigation bar and drop down, there's a LSB PNB cab page, and I've been posting regularly news about the local station board, and I posted your complete report there. It's just below the items about the LSB. People just need to open that page and scroll down. We have one public comment, but we are at time.
I call for the orders of the day.
Well, the orders of the day is adjournment.
I call for the orders of the day. It is not debatable.
I said the orders of the day is adjournment.
Yes.
Because we're time certain. There was a person with the public who wanted to raise their voice, but I think we have to end the meeting officially, and we can listen to what they have to say. So the meeting is adjourned, but the person on the phone with their hand up, go ahead.